Meta is in trouble with the EU. From Marketplace, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer, in for David Brancaccio. The European Union has issued a $1.3 billion fine against Facebook's parent company, Meta. This is a record fine for Europe's data privacy regulator and an escalation of a conflict between Europe and the U.S. over personal data and how best to safeguard it. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with the details. Good morning, Nova.
Good morning, Nancy.
So what is Meta being accused of?
All right, so EU regulators say Meta is sending European users' digital data back to the U.S. instead of storing that data in Europe, where there are more stringent privacy rules. Now, Meta doesn't dispute this necessarily. It says it's doing what lots of other tech companies are doing. And if it doesn't keep data flowing, Europe could lose access to Facebook, at least in the short term. Nevertheless, EU regulators are giving Meta 6 months to start storing and processing data in Europe, and that includes potentially deleting a lot of user data.
But Nova, this isn't just about Meta, is it?
Nope, not by a long shot. It's about American big tech companies in general and U.S. surveillance. There have been years of tensions between the U.S. and Europe over digital privacy. They started after leaks from Edward Snowden back in 2013. Those leaks showed that U.S. intelligence was gathering data flowing in from Europe, and the European Union passed new digital privacy rules as a result. There's an effort to reach a deal that would keep data flowing between here and there. A tentative agreement was reached last year between our government and European Union, but the two sides are still negotiating over the details. And since Meta has 6 months to comply with this new order to keep Europeans' data in Europe, that could give the company enough breathing room, Nancy, until the U.S. and the EU get a pact completed, which could happen this summer.
Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you.
You're welcome.
The National Association for Business Economics is out this morning with its latest survey of economists. It includes some predictions about where inflation is headed and whether there'll be a recession in the next year. For more, let's turn to the president of the association, Julia Coronado. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So the association is out with its May survey of economists, and I'm going to ask the question on everybody's mind first. What do they say about inflation and when it might get back to the Federal Reserve's 2% target?
So there is an expectation that inflation will moderate, but that it's going to take some time to get all the way back to the Fed's 2% target, really not until 2024.
Of course, the Fed has been hiking interest rates to snuff out inflation, but there has been some speculation the Fed might actually cut rates by the end of this year. What does your survey say about that?
So survey panelists are more aligned with the Fed itself rather than the market in terms of expecting rates to stay a bit higher for longer. And views on recession this year are certainly, or over the next 12 months, pretty much evenly split as to whether that's going to come to pass.
Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. She is also the president of the National Association for Business Economics. Thank you, Julia.
My pleasure.
Steel is essential in today's economy. It's in everything from cars and buildings to medical equipment and wind turbines. But making steel from scratch is not great for the climate, at least not the way it's manufactured since the Industrial Revolution using coal. The steel sector is responsible for roughly 8% of carbon dioxide emissions worldwide. The Global Steel Climate Council, an industry group, recently released a new framework to change that. Some environmental groups are pushing for green hydrogen to replace coal in steel manufacturing. Reporter Ali Budner has more on that.
If ever there was a moment for U.S. steel companies to invest in the transition to green power, it would be now. That's according to Nick Messenger, an economist and senior research fellow with the Ohio River Valley Institute, a policy think tank.
The Inflation Reduction Act and the infrastructure bills passed by Congress and the Biden administration have really put an incredible amount of money on the table.
That's towards meeting the administration's climate goals. Messenger recently co-authored a report on decarbonizing steel production in western Pennsylvania using green hydrogen.
So it's really an effective way to still reduce iron ore down to make steel.
The idea is if you use renewable energy to make hydrogen, and then you use the hydrogen to manufacture steel, the process is greener from start to finish. This so-called green steel is pretty new.
I think that hydrogen has an enormous potential to help lower the carbon footprint of steel manufacturing.
Philip Bell is president of the Steel Manufacturers Association. It's part of the Global Steel Climate Council, and Bell appreciates the Biden administration incentives.
But what can't get lost in the translation is that we have an existing and proven way that's fully commercialized and done on a large scale to make lower carbon steel.
What he's talking about is steel that's made by recycling scraps of ferrous material, like other bits of steel. Bell says this process accounts for over 70% of U.S. steel production and doesn't require coal.
So in some ways, the U.S. steel market is relatively clean compared to the rest of the world.
Aaron Bergman is a fellow at the nonprofit think tank Resources for the Future. He says green hydrogen could be a way to wean raw steel production off coal.
The question is particularly to decarbonize what is a very large industry, is the scale of hydrogen, you know, green, clean hydrogen, really available?
Perhaps not yet, he admits. And even with government incentives, it's a slow process, says Bell with the Steel Manufacturers Association.
It's like moving a battleship. It's going to take time. There's a lot of capital already invested in traditional steelmaking technology.
And, he says, there are a lot of jobs at stake. I'm Allie Budner for Marketplace.
And I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.